1985, it was a big year. You think back on the many events that took place in that year. That was the year that Mikhail Gorbachev came to power in the Soviet Union. You may remember President Reagan and Gorbachev had their famous Geneva summit in 1985. The wreckage of the Titanic was discovered in 1985. The sad, tragic Mexico earthquake took place. Mexico City, 10,000 lives lost in that devastating event. The ozone was ripped open, if you recall. The hole in the ozone layer was the big news of the year. And then there was the three-week ordeal of TWA Flight 847 that captured the attention of the world. Lots of incredible events taking place that year. Some of the big cultural events of 1985, you had Back to the Future, the top movie in theaters that summer. Mike Tyson came out as a professional boxer. Wham! Topped the music charts. Live Aid took place. The 49ers routed the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And then my favorite all-time cartoon first came out. Calvin and Hobbes was published for the first time in 1985. 1985 was the year the first Macintosh computer was released. How many of you remember using the old Macintosh, right? And not only that, but 1985, the best-selling car in America was the Chevy Cavalier. Believe it or not, did anybody of you have the Chevy Cavalier? Yeah, a few hands out there. And then who remembers the Nintendo Entertainment System? There we go. First year of release, 1985. And then, of course, a new church was born. Chisago Lakes Evangelical Free Church. What a great year 1985 was, full of incredible and momentous events and occasions. You know, friends, we look back on the past 40 years and we can't help but reflect on how much has changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is the gospel-based mission that this church was founded on. Lakes Free Church has always been a church invested in the kingdom of God, committed to sharing the hope of Jesus Christ, committed to advancing the good news of the gospel with our community and around the world. And as we think back on this mission that we've been given, looking back on 40 years of faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to us, church, my prayer for us this morning is that we might be a people who say, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. This morning, we're going to look at a story of a man named Caleb, who at 85 years old stood before Joshua, the leader of Israel, during the conquest of the promised land, and Caleb boldly declared, I'm not done yet. His story is a powerful reminder to us that God's promises fuel our purpose, no matter our age or the obstacles in front of us. Caleb's life shows us how to live as a not done yet people. A people pressing forward in faith, in strength, and in passion. So this morning, I want to take a look at this passage that speaks of Caleb's passion, his vision, his commitment. And in it, we're going to find three keys to help us be a not done yet people. Our passage this morning comes from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. Let me read this for us this morning. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord has spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength has not faltered for war, for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. It's an incredible story. And here in this passage, we find three keys to being a not done yet people. You want to be a not done yet people, church? I want to be a part of a church like that. Three keys in Caleb's life. Number one, we need to share Caleb's vision. We need to share his vision. Caleb's story begins 40 years earlier in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, if you want to go and read it later today. This was just after Israel's exodus from Egypt. God had promised his people a land flowing with milk and honey, and Hebron was at the heart of it. Hebron wasn't just any piece of land. It was the first piece of land promised to Abraham. It was the first piece of the promised land that was owned by Abraham. It was where Israel's patriarchs rested. It was sacred ground. It was Israel's inheritance. Moses had sent spies to scout out the land of Canaan, including Hebron. And when they returned, most of them trembled, saying, "The people are too powerful. There are giants there. The cities are fortified. We're like grasshoppers." And the hearts of the nation of Israel melted in fear. But not Caleb's. Caleb stood with Joshua, and in Numbers 13, verse 30, Caleb declared, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Friends, Caleb had a very different vision from the other spies of Israel. And what was behind this difference? Well, let me tell you, the men of Israel measured the Canaanites by a ruler. Caleb measured the Canaanites by the ruler. The other spies of Israel looked at the people and the giants, and they said, "They're huge. Look at how big they are." And Caleb said, "Look at how big our God is." And it was his vision of our God that gave him the courage to stand boldly saying, "Let us go up and occupy this land, for we are well able to take it." Yes, friends, Caleb saw the promise through the lens of God's power, while the rest of the spies were looking through the lens of their predicament. And Caleb's vision of a great and powerful God, it made all the difference in the world as he looked at the mission before him. Hebrews 11, that great hall of fame of the faith, begins with these words in verses 1 and 2. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation." This was the faith that Caleb demonstrated in that early mission. Faith, biblical faith, is not blind faith. It's not stepping out, taking a leap into the dark, hoping all this is real. No, biblical faith is about confidence. It's about active trust that is rooted in credible reasons to believe. And Caleb had many credible reasons to believe. His vision was rooted in the God of Israel and his promises and his faithfulness to the people. Caleb trusted because he knew that God was faithful. He had lived it. He had seen it. And he knew that because God was faithful, he was greater than any challenge the Israelites might face. And because Caleb trusted, Numbers 14, 24, Moses says this, God says this to Caleb, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." Caleb received the promise because he trusted. Church, I want to ask you this morning, do we share Caleb's vision today? Do we see the challenges before us, whether personal or cultural or spiritual? And do we look at these challenges through the lens of God's promise? Or do we just see predicaments? See, the ruler, The ruler we use makes all the difference. Do we look at the challenges or do we look at the God who's bigger and sovereign over all things? You know, I think of our own church's vision today, Vision 45, a 20-year vision. We're a little under 1 year into Vision 45 today. A 20-year vision taking us to 2045, where we are praying and stepping out in faith, asking God to bring 1,000 new disciples of Jesus Christ into our church. We're asking God to help us raise up another 100 vocational Christian workers committed to full-time ministry and service of the Lord. We're seeking to establish 10 missional communities active throughout our entire region, working together to build bridges for the gospel into our communities and amongst our neighbors. Friends, how do we measure these goals? These are big goals. Do we measure them by the challenges we're facing? Or by the God we're fearing? See, that makes all the difference in the world. My prayer for us this morning is that we might never forget that God's presence is with us and his promises are sure. And so, like Caleb, I want to encourage us this morning, we're not done yet, church. We're not done yet, not even close. Let's move confidently into the future, trusting God for a bold vision and trusting that he will be faithful. The second key to being a not done yet people that we see in Caleb's life, we need to imitate Caleb's vitality. Caleb's vitality shines in verse 11 of our passage this morning. Caleb says to Joshua, "I am still as strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me." Isn't that incredible? After 85 years, after 40 years of which wandering in the wilderness, Caleb's faith in God's promise hasn't wavered a bit. The years didn't dim his trust, they deepened it. And where did Caleb's vitality come from? Friends, what refrain do we find over and over again in this passage this morning? Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Five times, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That phrase in the Hebrew is a very interesting phrase because it can also be translated to close the gap. It was a phrase used of hunters chasing their prey. And friends, this was Caleb's heart. Caleb lived to close the gap between himself and God. He was committed to staying as close to the Lord as possible. What a great example for each and every one of us. Do you live today to close the gap between you and God? Do you have a heart that seeks to fully follow the Lord? I pray that we might all look to this example of Caleb. Caleb's vitality also grew out of a life of patient obedience. Take a look at Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." If there was ever a verse that defined a man's life, it was this one for Caleb. Caleb lived this. Think about what Caleb experienced in his lifetime. Slavery in Egypt, the Exodus, spying out the land of Canaan, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And all of that time, Caleb waited on the Lord. He was faithful, trusting in God, and he found his courage in him. What an incredible man of faith. You know, the name Caleb, it's a very interesting name. My son is named after Caleb in Scripture. And the name Caleb in Hebrew is literally dog. Now, you might think that that might be an insult, but no, it's not an insult, it's a praise. You see, just like today, a good dog was highly valued in the ancient world for companionship, for protection, shepherding, hunting, all kinds of labors that those dogs could assist and help in. And when we study Caleb's life, what we discover is he was like a faithful, well-trained dog who spent his life patiently waiting on his master's leading, anxiously obeying when called. Friends, like the young kids would say today, we got some dogs here at Lakes Free Church. people wholly devoted to following the Lord. People whose lives are characterized by faithful obedience. We've celebrated a bunch of them this weekend. But the question before us this morning is, what kind of church are we going to be for the next 40 years? Will we follow the lead of those dogs who went before us? Will we be like Caleb? Will we too be found faithful? Isaiah 40, 31 promises this, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Friends, this right here is the key to being a church that thrives for another 40 years. And understand something this morning. The waiting here, this isn't a passive waiting. The waiting that Isaiah speaks of is an active trust that involves prayer and worship and obedience, all while anticipating mighty acts of God. And so we wait on the Lord, and we pray, and we worship, and we serve, and we anticipate that as we do, our great and faithful God has even greater things in store for this church as we look to the future. See, friends, when we trust God in this way, what we discover is that He is always faithful to renew our strength, to fly us to even greater heights, and to empower us to overcome any challenge that we might face. And so as we think about being a not done yet people, we need to embrace, number three, we need to embrace Caleb's vigor. Caleb's vigor, his passion, his resolve. It literally leaps from verse 12 in our passage this morning. Caleb declares, "Give me this hill country, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Now, friends, this wasn't easy territory. Hebron was rugged country. It was guarded by giants. But Caleb didn't flinch. His heart burned with a zeal to see God's promises fulfilled. Caleb was 85 years old, but he wasn't retiring. No, he was re-enlisting. And Caleb took up that challenge and said, "Give me this hill country." See, he never grew old. He never weakened. He wanted the fight. He embraced the challenge. He didn't leave the work for others, but he stepped out in faith and said, "Let me take this land." Wow. What an incredible example for us today. Friends, as we stand together this morning on this mountaintop of 40 years of faithful ministry, what's our heart's attitude? Do we stand here today after 40 years and say, "Hey, look at us. Look what we've done. We did it. We've arrived." Or will we, like Caleb, look to the horizon and declare, "Give me this hill country. We're not done yet." Friends, I pray that none of us are satisfied with where we're at today. To our old folks here, and we have some old folks here, let me tell you, be like Caleb. Don't retire, re-enlist. To our young folks here, I want you to look around at the example of those who have gone before us and follow their lead. Be inspired by their example. Look to those who led the way these past 40 years. Friends, let's be committed today. Let's be committed to saying that this 40-year anniversary will not be the pinnacle of our church's impact, but just the preview. And may God use this church for another 40 years for His glory. Lord, give us this hill country. Give us Lindstrom and Chisago Lakes and Schaefer and Taylor's Falls and St. Croix Falls and Rush City. Lord, give us this hill country for Your glory, Jesus. Make Your name famous, Jesus. Friends, let me conclude this morning by pointing out what resulted from Caleb's vision, vitality, and vigor. Verse 15 of our passage ends with these words, "And the land had rest from war." The courageous faith of Caleb led to blessing for God's people and peace for all the land. What a legacy. What a goal for us to strive for as well. See, church, when we live as not done yet people, trusting God's promises, drawing strength from his presence, boldly walking in his power, we pave the way for his peace and blessing to flow through us to others. What a privilege that is. And so as we stand on the mountaintop of God's faithfulness over these past 40 years, let's not settle. Let's look to the future and say, we're not done yet, and charge boldly into this hill country that God has for us, with his promises shaping our vision, his presence fueling our vitality, and his blessing inspiring our vigor. Let's wholly follow the Lord and see his kingdom advance. Amen.